America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
On 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Memphis' number one place for sports. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM ESPN, an Odyssey sports station. Catch all the Tiger touchdowns, Grizzlies dunks, and more hoops. We're the engine behind Elon Musk's next big idea. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports supercomputer.
And the question is, 1 year from today, who is more likely to be coaching a Memphis basketball team? Just Taylor Jenkins, no Penny Hardaway. Just Penny Hardaway, no Taylor Jenkins. Both of them still coaching the Memphis basketball teams, or neither of them still coaching the Memphis basketball team? Think about it if you were Las Vegas. Okay? If you were Las Vegas, how would you think about these odds? I think, let's be honest, I think the lowest one is neither.
Get in the game and turn up 92.9, 680 AM. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN. Or download the free Odyssey app and follow 92.9 FM ESPN. Redefining the sports broadcasting frontier, just like Elon Musk does in tech.
We're in the break room at a traditional jewelry store here. Hey, Mark, I know it's our job here to try and sell every piece of jewelry, but don't sell this ring. I'm going to try to use my employee discount to buy it for my wife.
Okay, but you know you can get a better deal at Genesis Diamonds.
Genesis Diamonds? Are you crazy? Better not let the boss hear you.
All I'm saying is I got a pair of diamond stud earrings there for my wife and paid a lot less than what we charge here, even after my employee discount.
Wow, really?
You never know who you'll see shopping at Genesis Diamonds. With no middleman pricing on the best selection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, bands, and bracelets, it's a no-brainer.
I admire your dedication to our jewelry store and not going to Genesis. I know the boss really appreciates your loyalty.
It's just the right thing to do, man.
And it's nice your wife won't mind getting a smaller diamond.
On second thought, can you cover me while I take a break?
Genesis Diamonds, the smart alternative to old-fashioned jewelry shopping. With more selection, lower prices, higher quality, stronger warranties, and zero pressure. At Poplar and Perkins Extended.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. We thank you for listening wherever you may be. Of course, you can always listen right here on 92.9 FM ESPN as well, 680 AM. You can also listen anywhere, anytime, any place on the Odyssey app. Make sure you go download the Odyssey app today to stay up to date on all of the latest programming here at 92.9 FM ESPN, as well as all the other fabulous Odyssey programming throughout the country. Producer of the program for us is, of course, Dennis Fuller. Glad that he is with us. My company this week, he covers preps, 901 FC, Liberty Bowl, golf tournament, and more for the Daily Memphian. He is on Twitter, on X, at John Varlas. John Varlas, good day, sir.
Good day to you, Jeffrey Wright. I am in a very bubbly mood today. And what
was the workout routine?
Oh, well, today was upper body at the Shabazz compound. We really got after it. And then after that, I went home, took a shower, got ready, and went downtown and started planning out the parade route for the championship.
Glad that you're ahead of everyone.
Yeah, so I am. Mm-hmm. I am well.
Always got to be prepared.
Well ahead of the curve. Super excited about the future Hall of Famer Zach Eadie, mm-hmm. and I'm excited to discuss that with you today.
Yes, the most significant Zach in Grizzlies history already. So we'll tell everybody.
Oh, a little shade there.
No, Jeff tried to tee that one up. I was like, I am not falling for that. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. We will start with last night's overtime defeat, 97-95 at the Salt Lake City Summer Game. We will start by emptying kind of the old notebook, the thoughts that we have from that contest. Then 2:35 live from Big 12 Media Days, because I know when I think Big 12, I think Las Vegas, Nevada. We got Tim Murray joining the program. He will join us live from Media Days. We will get into the list. Got a good update on Ja Morant. We'll discuss that. David Jones also made his summer league debut. And then this was suggested by one John Varlis, that Andy Staples now has his blue blood guide. It's available to read over at on3.com. But want to discuss that because even if there's some pushback, I think there's some bigger questions involved. And I really wanted to break down, discuss that as well. Also, I'm not going to take a victory lap. That's not what we do on this program. But when the news came out that Arch Manning was not going to be in the college football playoff game, I looked Mark square in the eyes and I said, yet. Not yet. Everything is a negotiation with the Mannings. Turns out I indeed was right. He did have a nice, colorful way to introduce that, yes, indeed, the backup quarterback at Texas will be in the NCAA video game. So we'll discuss that and more. Also, over at DailyMemphian.com, John Varlis has a fantastic piece up on Lucas Glover, of course, the defending champion for the FedEx St. Jude, or the Invitational now, correct?
I actually got a corrected note from Amanda with the PGA Tour. It's the FedEx St. Jude's Championship. I defaulted back to Classic. My editor didn't catch it, but
I knew it wasn't the Classic, and it's technically not an Invitational because you have to earn your spot in, and that's of course the crux of John's story on Lucas.
Yeah, it's FedEx St. Jude Championship, and thankfully that's one of the blessings of being an online publication.
Mm-hmm. It's not there forever.
Now fully corrected, and everybody please read it and enjoy it. Yeah.
So as mentioned last night over in Salt Lake City, the Grizzlies had their Salt Lake City Grizzlies, or should say Summer League debut. They'll play three games in Utah before going to Vegas for the full NBA Summer League. So the Grizzlies fall in overtime with the Elam ending. Admittedly, once upon a time, I booked the Elam ending for Jeff. And I think I booked it. I was on vacation in Florida and I was texting back and forth with him. And I don't hate the Elam ending, but I was misguided. I'm perfectly willing to throw my hand up. I thought there was some condition in there to keep the game from ending on free throws. The point of it, and I actually like it, the point of it is that it ends on a game winner.
Yeah.
And I think that that's fun. It feels a little more anticlimactic when it's a free throw, but nonetheless, that's how it winds up. But the Grizzlies had all the chances in the world. I guess I'll start here, John, because I personally don't really care about the result one way or the other. I mean, in a competitive enterprise, yes, you'd prefer to win rather than lose, but that's about as low stakes as it gets in terms of a sports viewing perspective. But when you were sitting down watching last night, what were kind of the things that came to top of mind?
Well, I mean, you know, we joked about it, but obviously, Zach Eadie was a standout and probably the, I don't know, is it fair to say he was the best player on the floor last night? I sure think he was. And again, preface all this by saying it's summer league, it's one game, it doesn't matter, a hill of beans in the big picture. But, you know, I think we saw a lot of promising things from him. And, you know, we talked yesterday. I said I wanted to see that he looked like he belonged out there, and he certainly did that. And I think he did the things that, kind of you wanted to see,
yeah.
You know, working within the system of how they're going to use him. You know, rebound, set screens, protect the rim. I mean, I think he really showed that he can – maybe be the guy that can do all those things long term. And if he can, I mean, that's going to help win a lot of games for this Grizzlies team. I'm really excited what I saw. I don't want to get too over enthusiastic. I know overreaction Monday was yesterday, but you know, yeah, I'm ready to print playoff tickets and championship T-shirts after that. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, this used to be Tell the Truth Tuesday, but I don't think that you can tell the truth with Summer League. But I think the way that I would characterize it is, in terms of if you're just someone who's interested in the Grizzlies, I think that's about as good of a Summer League debut as you can hope for, because it had the elements of all the things that you wanted to see. Because we know, you know, it's almost like you have to scream at other people that don't understand the Grizzlies situation. The Grizzlies didn't draft Zach Edey to be their best player.
Right.
I mean, they've drafted him to be, honestly, probably at best their fifth best player. I guess maybe you could stretch it to fourth. But in general, they've drafted him to play a very specific role. That's what they need from him. And last night, you saw all of the makings of why they selected him. Yeah. You could tell, I think one of my favorite moments was early in the first quarter, after he had set a couple of screens, you could see Jazz defenders trying to, like, just run around and avoid. It was almost like they were playing, like, capture the flag, and they were just, like, trying to run away. And I thought that was, like, laugh out loud funny to watch, because, yes, those are not the highest of high-level NBA guys, with the exception of Walker Kessler. We'll talk about that. But in terms of the guys he's setting screens on, but you could tell that was a physical force that was something to account for. I thought the rebounding was pretty darn good. I think most people would say you knew he had the ability to be a rim protector, but I think he showed out in the rim protection role even more so than people thought. And I think the other thing that people actually acknowledged, you saw that, yes, this is a big, large guy, but it's almost like he's been built as his feet are cinder blocks. And you saw, like, is this Wembanyama in terms of a physical freak? No. But you see, he moves plenty well.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, really troubled me in a lot of the analysis leading up to the draft, and, you know, a lot of the commentary about his performance at Purdue. You know, I'm turning on my Twitter sarcasm font here. You know, he's just tall. That's why, you know, that's why he's doing everything. Well, he's still taller than everybody else, Jeffrey. And, you know, even in the NBA, he's still going to be taller than everybody else in the league. And like you said, he's got the athleticism. I mean, my favorite part of the game was when he was, you know, on defense. He challenged an alley-oop at the rim. I think it was Kessler that was on the receiving end. He challenged that. Then he, you know, sprints back down the floor, you know, beats everybody down and gets the dunk. And I mean, you know, that is, you know, I mean, if I think, you know, barring injury, of course, or anything like that, I mean, I think that kind of play is sustainable. And I think it just really speaks to, you know, the total basketball player he is and kind of, you know, just you know, kind of just what he's going to bring to the table for these Grizzlies. I think he's going to bring ultimately a lot more to the table than what, you know, conventional wisdom might have dictated before the draft.
And again, I don't know, because I mean, I watch everything, so I have no idea of what people have and haven't seen. But I think what was helpful last night for Grizzlies fans is, particularly in the first half, in the fourth quarter, it kind of changed a little bit. We can discuss that in a moment, but you could tell the emphasis with him was what we talked about yesterday. I felt like it was going to go one of two ways. Either the emphasis of his play was going to be, we need you to really focus on and do the things that we're going to ask you to do come training camp, or it was just going to be, hey, go dominate. See if you can be the best player on the floor. It was, at least particularly me in the first half, it seemed obvious, and again, I don't know if there were any comments. I saw Jason Marsh spoke with Drew Hill, but I didn't see anything about what was the mindset or what was the approach coming into the game. But just from what my eyes told me, was that seemed to be what he was working on, was how he was going to fit in with the team. And it allowed people to see, even though you didn't have Ja, Jaren, and Dez on the floor, but when you see him setting high screens and Scottie Pippen's getting all that space, and then you realize, like, and I felt like there were several times, like, he rolled to the basket quite nicely and they just didn't find him, or I don't know if, you know, this is the first time a lot of these guys were playing together, so who's to say, you know, to me, like, if you wanted to nitpick some of the concerns, I thought on some of the touch stuff, like using his hands, and there was some stuff offensively that I was like, okay, that wasn't super clean, but I was also willing to set that aside and chalk that up to a lot of that's timing stuff. I mean, I think back to Caitlin Clark's first game with the Fever, and you realize, like, she was making what I was deeming to be the right pass, but because they haven't played together very long, you could tell, like, there was miscommunications. Like, you're just off there, a little bit here, a little bit there. And I felt like the same thing held true last night for Edie. But to me, it allowed everyone to see what is the vision. And the vision would be, you know, as great of a defender as Jaren is, he's not the world's greatest rebounder. But you see, like, oh, that pairs very nicely. You can imagine now, imagine if Ja is the one that's rubbing off that screen and you've got Edie rolling to the basket. I think also you started to see, hey, like, this is a different level of rim protection and stuff in the interior of the defense than I think people were giving him credit for. And I think that's what helped people kind of build the momentum. And I think it's also very important to note, while it's summer league and we're not hanging banners yet, even though John's prepared, he has prepared the parade route. This was such a miserable season, and just such a, like, to me, it was either, at best, it was you just checked out because it was in a fun watch in general, or it's just kind of miserable because you're just sitting there going, like, what's the point of this? And it just wasn't a lot of fun. Last night, I think tonight was a reminder to everyone, because you started watching Edie and you started thinking about how he fits in with Ja, Jaren, Dez, and Marcus Smart, Vince Williams. I think it kind of got everybody like, oh yeah, this can be fun again. It doesn't have to be like it was last season.
No, absolutely. And you know, to kind of further your point on that, you know, he's going to be playing with, you know, when their season starts, he's going to be playing with better players.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he's going to be playing with a good passer in Ja Morant, not Scottie Pippen Jr. And maybe we'll touch on him later, because, you know, I think Scottie Pippen certainly has a role with this team, but it's not as the starting point guard. You know, and then, you know, further to your point, too, I was, another thing that I was encouraged with was, you know, the wisdom was, you know, in the NBA, he was going to be a foul merchant. He couldn't get away with a lot of this. You know, I mean, I think he played a pretty physical game, Jeffrey, and I don't, you know, he wasn't burdened by fouls. I think he maybe even got a favorable whistle or two, you know, throughout the course of the game. So I don't think he's going to just be a walking foul in the NBA. I think his athleticism is going to prevent that. I think his basketball IQ, you know, positioning and that kind of thing, and knowing when to, you know, when to reach and when to jump, and, you know, all those kind of things that a good big man learns fundamentally, I think that's going to, you know, protect him well. Yeah, sure, there's going to be games where he gets in foul trouble, obviously, all rookies do, but you know, I don't see that as being a big problem either. I really saw a lot of the, you know, the concerns alleviated. I really did.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the other thing. It's like, how do you really judge this? Because he picks up 6 fouls in 33 and a half minutes or whatever. I think it was around 33 and a half. But in summer league, they're giving you 10 fouls.
Yeah.
So at the same time, I agree with you. Like, someone could point to, well, he would have fouled out in an NBA game. It's like, okay, well, first off, he knew he had 10, and I completely agree with you. It felt like there were lots of opportunities, particularly I felt like in the second half, it seemed to me like Utah was trying to go at him a little bit more. And you saw very quickly, they decided, like, we're just going to go stand out the 3-point line. We're going to hang out there.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the mindset of a game with 10 different fouls is different. The substitution pattern is different. I mean, it's just all different. And, you know, again, I'm joking, I'm having fun. It's a summer league game. Yeah, it's there's not a lot you can take from this. I mean, there's not a lot you can take from this, you know, hardcore going forward. But, you know, there's just signs. There's, like you said, Jeffrey, the vision is there. You know, Ja Morant has a chance to average double digit assists this year playing with this guy on the pick and roll, because he's a much better basketball player than Scottie Pippen is. And you saw, you know, what they could do with Scottie Pippen. Well, what can they do with Ja Morant? I mean, you know, the possibilities are really, really, you know, intriguing and interesting, I think.
Do we have anything else on Edie? Because, I mean, I'm very much with you.
Yeah, no.
Despite the fact that I was very much on record as being fine with picking Edie at 9, even before I think everyone else talked themselves into it, I want to be very clear. Last night's not a victory lap. I just felt like last night everyone saw what I had talked myself into.
Yeah.
And so, and to me, like, that's kind of how I feel. And I think bottom line with Edie is you just wanted to get out of the next few weeks and not feel like, oh, boy, I don't know.
Right.
Like, you just didn't want to have that feeling. And I think it's very clear right now. Again, is he ever going to make an all-star team? I have no idea. But I think through the first game of what we saw, you realize, okay, I don't think we're gonna get to training camp feeling like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, and does it even matter if he makes an all-star game? Because the Grizzlies don't need that. They need him to be an elite, you know, I used the term yesterday, an elite garbage man, a guy that sets screens, a guy that gets rebounds on the glass, a guy that plays defense, a guy that does the dirty work. They need him to be an elite version of that, with the skill to finish around the basket and make passes out of the paint and hit the open three-point shooter. And I think he can do that. But, no, I'm with you. I'm just really optimistic about – and, you know, like you said, optimistic about the Grizzlies after a season where there was
– not a lot.
No fun, you know.
No, I mean, the only optimism is like, can you just get us out of here?
Yeah.
Like, can we fast forward? I did think of one other thing that I wanted to mention. Of course, I think his breakthrough moment, his – Memphis made moment, although I don't know if you can actually have it in summer league. It did feel like when he shoved the shoulder at Sensenbaugh and everyone, I think he said something like, oh, we're going to start this S. And it felt like everyone was like, oh my God, yes. Like, we're in. Like, that's what we loved about Steven Adams. Here's what I actually think is important. And last year's such a lost season that you don't know how it would have transpired. Maybe Marcus Smart would have wound up becoming this guy. But I felt like after the Lakers series, the one thing that I really, really, like, the intangible that I thought the Grizzlies needed to focus on was there just needed to be a different edge. There needed to be some dog, for, you know, lack of a better term, some grit, some toughness. Because everyone points out, well, they had Dylan. But Dylan's in this weird, like, lone wolf category where it's like he's not inspiring others. He's doing what it takes to motivate himself. But it's not something that brings everybody else in. And you could tell, standing up for his teammate right off the bat, like, everyone else is kind of ready to go for him. And I thought that was a big moment. I think you also see he kind of plays with that edge. Like, he's the biggest guy on the floor, and it's like he almost knows it.
No, yeah. I mean, and that's the, you know, Dylan Brooks. I mean, you kind of want your dog and you kind of need your dog to have, you know, some sort of physical presence,
yes,
about him. You need,
absolutely,
you know, a Charles Oakley or an Anthony Mason or a Rick Mahorn. You need a guy that's, you know, that looks the part.
I mean,
you need a guy that's
not a different example, but like the Celtics had Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's a perimeter defender or whatnot, but like somebody that just kind of brings an edge.
Yeah.
And I thought that was big. All right, a couple of the other things that I jotted down, and I wanted to know how you felt about it. Admittedly, this could be a hypocritical take, so I'm willing to talk it out. The eye test told me last night that Jake LaRavia looked good. The box score didn't quite... I felt like the box score did not line up with how he played, because I felt like, for the most part, he was always in control. He was making things happen on defense. He was active on the offensive end. He was not hesitant to pull the trigger. It was just a night where he goes 2 for 8. But if he goes 3 for 8, it's almost like people feel a little bit differently. But I also thought it was this weird reality of, I think his two best shots of the night were actually misses or didn't count. The three as he's getting fouled near like the coach's box on the opposite sideline in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was an unbelievable make, but they just waved it off and said it was on the floor. And then, honestly, I think the biggest shot of the night was that was a perfectly missed free throw that allowed for the tip-in.
No, Jake LaRavia is interesting to me, Jeffrey. I mean, he, you know, there's been moments in his career, moments in his Grizzly tenure where he's looked the part of what they, you know, kind of thought he could be. I mean, there haven't been a lot of those moments, and they haven't been really sustained moments. But, you know, you've seen the flashes, and I guess the most important thing with a guy going into his third season now,
yeah,
playing in summer league, is you don't want to see him looking awful, right?
Correct.
You know, you get to the point where if you got a guy that's been in the league 2 years and he's still in the summer league and he looks bad, he looks overwhelmed, you know, you start to looking like, hey, well, what are we going to do with this guy? Because, you know, things might not be working out the way we had hoped. He didn't look like that. You know, you're right. He didn't shoot well, but he played with, I thought, poise, some confidence. You know, it looked like he was, pretty assured of himself in his play. And, you know, I think those are good signs. I don't think it's hypocritical at all to to look at the box score and say, well, it wasn't a great box score, but you know, there's the way he went about compiling that box score, I think is fairly promising.
Yeah, if you've ever been like a sophomore that was playing on varsity, and then maybe you're like a bench guy on the varsity, but they want you to go get some reps, and you go play JV, and you're like, oh my god, the speed of this game, like I can do this because the game's really slower. And that's kind of what it felt like to me. And that was a good thing. Now, where I say it could be hypocritical is he useful without making shots? Because I think that's going to be the big question, because it seems to me his value is going to be, if he is someone that can do the things that we're talking about, well, if he's not knocking down shots, there's other guys that can do that stuff probably at a higher level that can also not knock down shots. And so, where I think, though, this is where I'm worried about it, if this is fundamentally hypocritical. I thought Laravia played well, despite the box score. And I thought Gigi was, like, borderline awful last night. And I get it. It's one of those things where shooting dictates so much of it. Like, I felt like, was it Harrison Barnes? No, which Harrison did we have of the twins? The Kentucky guys. We had one of the Harrisons. It was like, if he had a game where he made shots, everyone was like, this guy looks good. And it's like, well, he's never going to consistently do that. So my problem last night with Gigi was, A, I have no idea what his instructions were. Like, that's kind of the other problem. Is you're watching a basketball game without knowing what the intentions are. This isn't just a competitive enterprise. Go out, win the basketball game. Everybody's got something that they're working on. So I have no idea what his instructions were. Maybe his instructions were, you've got to go hunt shots, and we've got to just see like what you can and can't create. But there were so many just mind-boggling bad shot selections that I was like, I find it hard to believe that was the instruction.
No, and this is going to sound hypocritical on my end, because we're still talking about a really, really young kid. It was an immature performance, and I kind of, you know, think back to what DeMichael Cole said when he, you know, when we talked to him yesterday. He wanted to see Gigi Jackson go out and take control. And I think maybe the attempt to do that was there, but he just went about it in such a, you know, such a, I mean, I hate to say it, but kind of such an immature fashion. You know, it didn't work, and it just led to a really, really bad game. I, again, just like we're not going to overreact to one great Zach Edey game, we're not going to overreact to one bad Gigi Jackson game, because he clearly has a place on this team and clearly has a place in this league. But yeah, there, you know, he hurt the team more than he helped them yesterday. That's for sure.
And to be clear, I mean, I know it was pointed out this morning, like, Gigi had a bad summer league last year. And again, it's summer league. I'm not overreacting. But this is what I would tell to the cult of Gigi out there, is he is still the youngest player, not only on the roster, on the summer league roster. And this is not a fast track. There's clearly going to be some development with him. Where I would say the ultimate hat tip to him, despite the fact that I don't remember at the time, I know he finishes 0 for 10, but when he got that corner three to put the game away, I thought he was going to make it. Like, I really did. And to me, like, that's kind of what really good players have. Like, that was when I really started to embrace the idea that CJ Stroud might be as good as certain people want him to be. I'm still in the, I believe in you, buddy, but let me go see you do it again this year. And if you do it again this year, like, it's going to take maybe a half for me to buy in. But every time CJ Stroud got the ball kind of at the end of the game, you thought he was going to go score.
Yeah.
To me, like, that's kind of, it's the same, it's that same feeling that you get despite the fact that Gigi had a bad night, I thought he was still going to make the play.
And did we get a little bit of our health, a little bit ahead of ourselves on Gigi Jackson last year, Jeffrey? Because, you know, just because, like you said, it was such a bad season, there was really nothing to look forward to. You know, those few flashes of Gigi Jackson brilliance there at the end of the season. I mean, did we get ahead of ourselves on him and maybe forget that he is so young and he is still, you know, somewhat raw and unpolished as a player? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know if everyone got ahead. The problem is there's clearly a very vocal online group that is kind of militant about Gigi. And I don't know if that's how everyone feels. I think most reasonable people think, like, man, this could be something here with this second round pick. Even people that watch the Grizzlies night in, night out. I do think what got lost in the shuffle, because he had a knack for having really big games on, relatively speaking, the big stages where the Grizzlies would play on national TV, and he had the moment with Shaq
hanging
and
out with Shaquille O'Neal, yeah.
I think people lost sight of, he still finished the year 35.7% from three, and that's below league average. And I think if you ask the common fan, did he shoot above, below, or at league average, I think most people would say, well, he shot above league average. And I say all that to say, like, it's the exact opposite of kind of what we're talking about with Edie. It's like, I'm not viewing this as something to sound the alarms, but I do think it was a nice reminder of there's still development that needs to happen. And to me, like, if he has that kind of night where he's coming off the bench, he's the eighth or ninth guy, guys, he's not going to go 6 of 20. He's going to go 2 of 7, and he's going to sit on the bench. Like, that's just how it's going to be, because there's going to be other guys out there. And it's like, I think it's just kind of a reminder, this is still a development project. Now, if you compare him to the other two second-round picks, Cam Spencer last night, who seemed to be the only guy at one point that could hit a shot, and then I'm sitting there wondering, like, man, if it falls through with Luke Kennard, like, is this going to be a guy that they're going to turn to for a shooting? And then also with Jalen Wells, man, there was, like, a physical problem. And again, maybe this is also your first game. Like, I think when you're nervous, the thing that gets exposed athletically is that you start thinking too much, and you play slower. You play slower than you probably are. But I do think my concern with both of them was, I think their athleticism might have been the reason they fell to the second round.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you on Cam Spencer. I mean, I kind of squinched my eyes a little bit when you said if things fall through with Luke Kennard, because if things do fall apart with Luke Kennard and, you know, Cam Spencer is the fallback plan, I don't feel comfortable with that. And it's not based on last night's game. It's just based on the fact that he's a rookie second round draft pick.
Well, and Luke's 6'7".
Yeah, and like you say, you know, possibly with questionable athleticism to compete at this level. I mean, you're right. You know, it's the first game for these guys, and we got to remember that they're human beings too, and, you know, they're going to get nervous. You know, they've played, you know, thousands of basketball games, but they're still going to be butterflies in a situation like this. And maybe it's a situation where, you know, they're thinking and not playing. You know, they're not reacting. They're not doing what they do on autopilot. So there's probably an element of that to it. It's going to be interesting to see what Wells and Spencer look like going forward. And I think that'll give us a little bit more of a clearer picture. But yeah, no, if Luke Kennard doesn't work out, I'm not going to be happy with Cam Spencer as Plan B. That's for sure.
I would suspect he's not going to be Plan B, but maybe it's like down the line. But and to be clear, like, I was also in the fourth quarter when it looked like Cam was the only person that could hit a shot. I was like, as soon as he got the ball, it's like fire. Like, I'm just like, no one else is. Everyone else is. I think the Grizzlies finished 7 of 35 from three. He was 3 of 5. If you take that out, by my math, that would be, or maybe they were 7 of 36. Let's see what they finished. Yeah, 7 of 36. So if you take out his 3 for 5, they finish 4 for 31.
Cam Spencer was the summer, yes, the summer school valedictorian, wasn't he, Jeffrey?
He was last night. It's like, he's the only guy I think right now that I want with the green light. Okay, a couple other things. So I decided to be the guinea pig and try the Grind City Media app. And I'm very curious about this, because I thought it was going to be something that was from their app, it would launch a video player. So, like, if you have the ESPN app on your phone, when you want to watch something, it stays in the app and plays it that way. When you selected to play the game, it sent you to a website on your browser. I think it was like live.grindcitymedia.com, and played it from there. When you played it on your phone, I thought it was pretty solid. And there's actually some cool features. Like, you had a live chat going. It's like, it was kind of interesting. It was an interesting concept to think about if this is going to become more of the sports watching. Because it was like basically taking the features that you would see from online streaming and putting it into watching a game. And watch-alongs have been a thing that have, you know, we've seen the Manning cast have success. Like, there's Barstool started doing it really before anyone. But there's kind of this watch-along aspect that was included in the feature, which I think is pretty cool. They even had like a you could watch fan reactions. Like, if you put your video camera on your phone, like, you could see you reacting as well as other people at the same time. So I think there's some features that could be cool. I was not able to actually stream it from my phone to the TV. And then once I realized the broadcast, the Grizzlies did not have their own broadcast. Like, it wasn't like they had their own broadcast. They just showed the same broadcast we were watching on ESPN, which was also the, I think it's Bowler Jack, which I'm always reminded every time it's Summer League, it's like anytime I hear his voice, I just think I'm watching the 305 Sunday ticket game. It's like the 4-7 Chargers taking on the 3-8 Raiders. And it's like, this is like, that's the Bowler Jack game, but it's always good to have him. But they were just showing that broadcast. And so I was like, okay, well, if I don't have my guys there, I don't really care. Flip it off. It's one of those things where I would be curious to know. Like, yes, it's a Summer League game. There's going to be some kinks to work out, whatnot. Like, this, they weren't taking this thing to market. Like, this, you could tell this is kind of a test run. But I am curious to know if kind of like they have maybe the bones of where sports viewing is going.
Well, I mean, that's a good thought.
I should say locally. Yeah. We're always going to have, you know, if we're talking about football, like, it's always going to be just national games. For watching Grizzlies games, the local broadcast.
I think I would prefer if the app didn't take you to a separate website, to bring up the video player.
Yeah.
I would prefer to just go there directly. But, you know, I think some of those things you just talked about are here to stay. You know, the interactive aspect of it. I mean, I think for a lot of people, that's almost nowadays is as much fun as the game itself. You know, getting to interact with people. You know, you see that a lot of the times on Twitter, and now you're seeing it on these broadcasts. I mean, I think that's an added element of fun for a lot of sports fans. So not me in particular. I just want to sit and watch the game and hopefully be entertained. But, you know, it's appealing to a lot of people, and that's cool. But, so, yeah, if it's, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, it's good. I mean, the, you know, just big picture, the whole, you know, the whole way games are presented now. I mean, there's, you know, just so much that can be done. There's so much more. There's so much that has been done that we haven't seen in the past. And, you know, it's just a whole new world of how you can watch a game. You know, for an old guy like me, it's very, very intimidating, Jeffrey.
Well, I mean, I would consider myself like technologically savvy. Like, if you need me to go wire a audio board, like, yeah, I'm probably not going to do it as well as the best sound engineer in the world, but like, it will be functional. Like, I'm capable of doing this. And if I couldn't figure it out, it's like, okay, but like, if you were just trying to watch from your phone or you want to watch from your computer, you were able to do that. It's just, if you were someone who's like, I want to see it on the big screen. Like, I did see some challenges there, but I don't know. Overall, I was impressed with. I'm impressed with the concept. It's like one of those things where I'm curious to know if that's where things are headed. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's turn our attention to the world of college football. Tim Murray is out at Big 12 Media Days. They had a giant banner. We're number 3. We'll talk about all of that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Tim, I saw the quote today, and I just got to know, like, did you find yourself chanting, "We're number three? We're number three"?
I might have missed that quote.
So, Juracek, apparently, like, his big, like, fiery, and he's not one to shy away from the microphone, but, like, his big fiery message was, "We've solidified ourselves as the number three conference in sports." Like, okay. Congratulations. It just reminded me of do you remember the old Tosh routine when he used to be like, you know how the rest of the world hates us? It's because we say we're number one. If we just said we're number seven, they'd be like, yeah, that's about right. You know, it's the we're number one thing. It's like, yeah, if you just say we're number three, everyone's like, okay, yeah, sure, cool.
Well, I mean, at least they're realistic because they definitely aren't better than the Big Ten or the SEC. So the fact that they're leaning into, at least we're better than the ACC, you're like, okay, I could listen to that. I could listen to that argument.
It makes a fair point.
Yeah, we got Kenny Dillingham on the mic right now. I'll tell you what.
You know, he's one of our boys. He was Norvell's OC here.
We got some good hair walking around here. Avery Johnson got good flow. Avery Johnson, Kansas State quarterback, for those unaware. Big dude. He's got some broad shoulders. Put on some LBs. I think he's like 25-1 to win the Heisman, which seems a little short, but a lot of excitement there. And then Cam Rising's just walking around here with the flow, man. He's like 50 years old. So, you know, he's done these a couple times.
He is what I think what Tim Tebow would have been in this era, where it's just like, he's just going to stay there forever.
Yeah, he took it. You know, he had the injury, and then we were always wondering, oh, this is going to be a week that he comes back. This is going to be, and then he just never came back. And, you know, Utah and the winner of this conference is, I truly believe that this is the most interesting conference in the country. And that's not being hyperbolic because, the SEC is bringing in Texas and Oklahoma, and the Big Ten is adding Oregon and USC and UCLA. I look at this conference and I say, the winner of this conference is getting a bye, and they might be headed, you know, how far are they going to go? You know, do they get more than one team in? I think no, but what if Utah goes 11-1 and loses the championship game? But I think the Big 12, you could make a legitimate argument for maybe seven teams to win this conference. Like, no other conference, I don't think you could say that about. I think you can legitimately say that there should be seven teams who have realistic visions of winning this conference.
Yeah, I think you're right in this sense. If we're just talking about watchability of games, It feels that's going to be the conference where we're just going to be like, this conference is just drunk. But you could also talk me into a scenario where that conference champion's got three losses, maybe more. You could talk me into that, and you could also talk me into the scenario that you're laying out, the champion getting the bye and being a double-digit dog in their first quarterfinal.
Oh, 100%. Think about how much the five seed is going to have. I think the five seed this year is going to be in a great spot where you're going to get a home game against the G5 squad, whether that be Memphis or whoever comes out of the AAC or Boise State or Liberty. You're going to get a home game against the G5 representative, and then you're going to be a favorite more than likely because the five seed is going to be what? Texas, Oregon, Notre Dame, someone in that ballpark, because those, you know, as we talked about already, the SEC champ is only, SEC is only getting one bye. The Big Ten's only getting one bye. So one of those teams that loses that championship game could be in that five spot, and they're going to be saying, all right, now we get to play, you know, the Big 12 champion. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting how it all plays out.
I think it'll also be fascinating to see is, if Notre Dame gets that spot, I think they're licking their chops because they will not have played the conference title game. The problem that you get 100%. Is if it's the loser of the Big Ten or the SEC, all right, well, now they're on game number 14 in that, and you know that they're just going to basically say, like, if we can get out of here in this first, you know, in the home game, if we can get out of here not playing our guys past half. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of path, like, you would have two games where you're going to be significant favorites, and I don't even know if you could really – I mean, to me, it seems like you'll have the one seed may not even have that situation. I mean, I would presume the 8 or 9 is going to be a closer spread than what we'll see between the 4 and the 5.
The 8 or 9 game could be the third best team in the SEC versus the third best team in the Big Ten. Like that you could be playing Ole Miss, you could be playing LSU, you could be playing Penn State. You could be playing someone really, really good.
Yeah.
Not to say, look, Utah's no bums or whoever comes out of this conference, but you'd much rather face them, especially on a neutral, too. Let's go to Notre Dame real quickly, because there's been this discussion, and I don't know if we've had it on this show, about how, Notre Dame can never get a bye. Yeah, they agreed to that.
Yeah, they were in the room. They made the rules.
They were in the room, and they recognized, wait. So we could get a home game in South Bend in December against maybe a team from a G5 conference? Okay, yeah, we'll do that. Guess what we know we don't have to do? Play a conference championship game. So the loser of the SEC, the loser of the Big Ten, they just played 2 weeks prior. Notre Dame, they wrap up the season November 30th at USC. They've got 3 weeks to prepare, if they make it, for a home game against maybe Liberty. Right. I mean, and we'll see how the committee looks at them because their schedule's not super strong this year. But if Notre Dame runs the table, which, by the way, they're a favorite in 11 of their 12 games, and depending on what book you look at, they're either a pick'em or minus or plus one against Texas A&M. If Notre Dame goes 12-0, they're getting the five seed. Like there's no denying that. If they're 11-1, that's where it gets interesting, and maybe they drop down a little bit. But no, Notre Dame. Everyone, there was like a bunch of college football reporters who tweeted out, What a terrible deal for Notre Dame. Like, they agreed to this. This is actually a very good deal for Notre Dame, in my opinion.
I think it'll be interesting. I bet 11-1 gets the five. I mean, the question will be how many losses.
Who they lose to.
Right. And how many losses do the SEC and the Big Ten runner-up have?
Yeah. Right. Let's say, for example, Ohio State plays Oregon, even though they play each other in the regular season, but let's say Ohio State's 12-0, Oregon's 11-1, and Oregon beats Ohio State in the Big Ten championship, they're getting the five seed over 11-1 Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
So, yeah, I mean, I know there's been a lot of people who think that the college football playoff this year waters things down. I could not disagree more. I think this is going to make the sport so much better. I think for, you know, the folks in your town that are Memphis fans, now you've got, instead of, you know, look, Memphis has been to New Year's Six bowl games, right?
They've been to one, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, they played Penn State, right?
Yep.
And it was like, cool, we played Penn State. How interesting are they? Now you've got a legitimate shot. Are they going to win a national title? Probably not. But now you're in the discussion. This isn't a team that's going to have opt-outs. You're going to be going to I mean, Memphis or Boise State or Liberty or, you know, USF or whoever it is going to be going to a sold out Power Four conference stadium. And I know Memphis is going to Florida State this year and Boise State's going to Oregon. That's different. Like, that's September. This is going to be December. Everything on the line. It's just, I think this could not be better for the sport. And I know that the NFL is playing on that Saturday and they've got a couple pretty good games. But, like, if you're a college football fan, I think this opens the door for so many more interesting things. And to be honest, you know, Jeff, I tweeted this out the other day. Like, the expanded conference obviously adds some wacky matchups. Like, hey, Miami's going to Cal. Like, all right, that's going to be pretty weird. You know, Stanford's going to play Duke. How about the fact that Texas and Georgia are playing each other in November? Like, that's going to be unbelievable. Ohio State, Oregon's playing October 12th. Like, how about the return of Josh Heupel to Oklahoma?
Yeah, Oklahoma, Tennessee. I think it's week 4 or 5. I think it's his first conference game. Yeah.
I mean, how about Penn State, USC, one of the best Rose Bowls we ever saw in 2017? We get that now. Like, there are some weirdness. There's no doubt. Like, the fact that SMU is hosting Florida State September 28th. That's a little weird, but we get a lot of these games now that I'm like, wow, we get Texas A&M back on Thanksgiving weekend. That's going to be phenomenal for the sport. So, you know, I have fully embraced the expansion. I don't know if I want it to go any further. I kind of like the buy factor. I think that it enhances and it makes it really believe that, you know, conference championships mean something. But, man, it's going to be – I think now that we're getting closer and it's the realization, especially, too, I think the video game is going to help, too, with it coming out in a couple weeks. Like, they got a whole setup here.
Comes out Monday night.
Yeah, baby. Like, that. You don't think that's going to ratchet – I mean, how about the fact that EA Sports, I've never seen a video game do this. Now, to be honest, I'm not a big, like, Call of Duty guy or whatever. But, like, they're putting out these ratings. Like, the amount of attention that they've been getting – they've done a fabulous job of promoting this game and getting content. People are writing columns. Like, I just saw Bruce Feldman. Like, Bruce Feldman wrote a column about, you know, the top 10 atmospheres that he's been to as opposed to their ratings. Like, this game, man, is going to just explode, and it's only going to help the sport.
No, it needs to be a Harvard Business Review. It's one of the best marketing campaigns I've seen in a really long time. And they've done, like, a brilliant job of, they've involved the media in a smart way, but also, like, with the ratings, they've kind of embraced, like, the modern era of just get some engagement in there, like, throw A&M up there. It's defensible to put A&M as a great environment, but, like, you know, everyone's going to immediately have their thoughts. And then you release the team rankings, whatnot. Like, it's been phenomenal. But, I mean, my buddy David Cobb and I were talking. It also is funny how, like, that is how we used to learn everybody's schedule, is by playing the game.
Yep.
We'd learn the schedule, and then we would learn, like, where everybody's playing. And it's like, now I can't decide if part of it is, I just feel like it's become week to week. But it's also like, I haven't had that game for a decade. Maybe that's also partly why I don't feel like I have the grasp that I used to.
Dude, the day it would come out, and, you know, as crazy as this sounds, I owe that video game a lot for, like, where I am in my career. Like, I've become a college football guy, and I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. Like, no one cares about college sports. Maybe a little college basketball when Maryland was at its peak, but college football in that area, nobody gave two you-know-whats, and I loved it because my dad went to Notre Dame, so I grew up with that. And then I played college football, the video game, and that's the video game that I loved the most and played the most. And now I talk about college football for my livelihood. It's remarkable for me what that game did. And, here's the thing, too, is, like, you mentioned, you know, getting people fired up about the home field advantage and, you know, whatever it may be. And the fact that Colorado, I think, was like a top 20 defense. I'm like, well, you got to remember, like, think about what team is going to be utilized the most in that game.
Absolutely.
They got to make them better. They got to make them good. Like, they have to be a top 20 team in that game because every dorm room in America is going to want to play with Colorado. So they had to make them good.
I mean, how do you think I learned how to read coverage?
Like, literally, it's from playing the video game.
Yeah, right.
Like, my buddy Michael used to argue that playing video games made you a better person. Like, he went through, like, all the nice guys he knew. They all play video games. Like, he was using it, and I was like, Michael, no, that's the wrong argument. The argument is, this is you watching film. This is you reading coverage and getting better at that.
But then the best part was finding a glitch in a game and be like, oh my God, they can't.
The best was five wides, put your receiver, put your fastest player at quarterback, and then just outrun everybody.
Yes. I mean, you are insured a first down every single time.
And then your buddy would have to put his fastest player at middle linebacker and just run a spy the whole time. And then it just became this massive stalemate.
Or you take an edge rusher who has high speed, and you move him two spots over, and he just runs right past the tackle.
Yeah. Everyone, that play used to drive me insane because, you know, I'm a quarterback at heart. It's like, can y'all not just at least be a little intellectually honest? Just, like, run four verts and then have one guy run underneath. Like, no one's going to be there. Like, it'll be open. I guarantee it's an easy toss. Like, that was less offensive to me than just running the Michael Vick offense.
My go-to plays were always it was the speed option at a shotgun, never could be stopped, and then I'd run. I think it was called flood. You just ran
the trip side had vertical. You had a deep out, then you had a flat, and then the other guy was running the dig from the backside. If you just roll out to the side of the flood and then throw back to the crosser, it was wide open 9 times out of 10.
Well, every time.
Yeah.
It's going to open up a whole new, man, I tell you what, a lot of people our age, a lot of 30 and 40-year-olds are going to be pretty terrible fathers starting in
I was going to ask, I guess you're lucky because your wife's staying out with the family, right, for a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering how I'm going to negotiate this. Like, fortunately, my daughter goes to bed fairly early. We're talking like 7:30, but like thinking about whether or not, like, at dinner I have to just put melatonin in my wife's beverage, and so that way she just passes out. It's like when she wakes up at 11:30, she just wants to go to bed anyway. So it's like, I bought myself 3 hours of the game.
I dusted off the old sticks during COVID when there was no sports on. I was like, all right, yeah, everyone's asleep. I'll throw a little college football 14 on the old PS3 and get it revved up again. Also, the last thing I'll say about the video game is, and I said this on the podcast, which was, you know, I understand everyone's all fired up about Colorado. If you're playing with Colorado, like, have some manhood, man. You got to play with Colorado State. You play with a Mountain West team. You play with a Sun Belt team. Like, it's not hard to make Alabama win national championships. So, I mean, the real guys know. You find the teams that were, you know, you find the Louisiana Monroe.
No.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.